This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Baseball coming back July 1st. Players set to report for training, and then later in July, a shortened season, 60-game season, is supposed to kick off. However, who knows what's going to happen, man. To talk baseball, we thought we'd get our friend Scott Crawford on. He is from the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in the picturesque town of St. Mary's, Ontario. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I imagine you've had some time to go through some of the memorabilia in the Hall of Fame there and do some rearranging of exhibits without visitors walking through on a regular basis.
Yeah, unfortunately, the museum's been closed and not too busy, but hopefully we get reopened in July and people can come in and talk some baseball with us.
All right, Scott, your initial thoughts on the MLB's plan here, July 1st training and then the 23rd, the 60-game regular season. Does that sound like something, as a true baseball fan, that works for you?
Yeah, I mean, baseball's back, right? I mean, we knew we weren't going to have a full season, and we knew it might look slightly different. But, you know, I wish there were more games, of course. But by the time they decide to half agree with each other, baseball's back, and they're going to play 60 exciting ball games before the playoffs.
Now, what about the Blue Jays here? They aren't able to play in Toronto. I know they've asked the government if possibly they can get an exception to play at home in Toronto with teams coming across the border, but not sure if that's going to happen, especially now that multiple players and staff with the Toronto Blue Jays have tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky one. You know, we're the only major league team in Canada, and therefore the border is an issue, where the other sports, basketball and hockey, there's multiple teams and they could do, well, sorry, not basketball, hockey is multiple teams and they could do a hub sort of thing in Canada. You know, the Canada Health Unit has the request right now. You know, obviously it'd be great if they accepted it. If not, I mean, Buffalo's just around the corner and it's their AAA facility. And to me, that's the next best place to play, even though obviously I would love them up here in Toronto.
You'd rather see them play in Buffalo than in Dunedin, Florida?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on in Florida right now, as we hear in the news every day with the COVID. Not nearly as many in Buffalo, and it's a AAA facility there. So the amenities would be, you know, one step down from the big leagues, obviously, but it would allow them to play games. And if the border is still an issue, then it wouldn't be if they played Buffalo.
How much do you think the game itself is going to fundamentally change with the shortened season? You know, there's significantly less games. So are they going to be playing differently to try to scoop up as many wins as they can? Well, you know what I mean? Or just, you know, just going into the game with a different mindset, because each win is far more important.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, last year Washington was about 15 games under 500 in May. And of course they turned around and won the World Series. So you can't start like that this year. You got to go from the get-go. And, you know, the old saying is, oh, April, it's okay in April. The games matter later in the year. But, I mean, truly, all the games matter all the time. Because if you look, you know, it comes September, you're one game out of the playoffs. You're going to think back of that day where you didn't get that hit or drop that bunt down. So this year is going to be different. Every game is going to count. You know, there's going to be some really weird stats out there because, you know, someone might hit 400. And, you know, and that hasn't happened since Ted Williams in 1961. So, you know, some strange things could happen this year.
Scott Crawford from the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame is with us. As a Hall of Fame guy, stats like that, they're going to have an asterisk beside them going forward, right?
I'd assume there's going to be something. I mean, I just watched again with some slow time. I watched the movie 61, and Roger Maris had that asterisk beside his home run for several years, and then it got taken away, of course. But again, yeah, I mean, and there won't be too many records. Like, there's not going to be home run record or RBI record set. It's more like the, you know, low ERA or high batting average or something that might set a record because there's so few games. So I assume it'll be drastically seen as different for the history of the game.
What do you think of some of the rule changes that have been announced, Scott?
I don't mind a couple of them. You know, the one about the DH in both leagues, I'm fine. I mean, I love the American League baseball growing up as a Blue Jay fan, so I'm used to the DH. That's good. I'm not a big fan of the runner on second and extra innings. I get it for tournaments or the Olympics or something like that, but it's showing that a lot of games don't go past the 10th inning anyways. So I'd rather than just play out the extra innings like normal.
The one rule that's getting a lot of attention on social media is the baseball's new wet rag rule, where pitchers are going to be allowed to have a wet rag hanging off of them on the mound so they don't have to lick their fingers to get a little moisture on there before they throw their pitches. Are you a fan of the wet rag?
Not really. It sounds weird, and I think it's going to look weird. but there's got to go some way. If they don't want them licking their fingers, you know, a pitcher's always been able to step off the mound and lick their fingers to get some moisture and some grip on the ball. So, I mean, they got to do something. But it almost like they could put it, you know, just like the rosin bags normally back behind the plate, they could just put the wet rag on the ground beside the rosin bag and replace it each inning or something so it doesn't dry out. But, it's going to look odd in their back pocket.
Here's some tweets about the wet rag rule. Jeff Nelson, former relief pitcher, said, "Good luck, hitters. Water's not going to be the only thing on that rag." Baseball writer named Scott Coleman says, "Thankfully, baseball doesn't already have a cheating problem."
Do you
think it'll be tough? It'll be tough for pitchers to get away with putting foreign substances, because you see them do it under the brim of their hat, on their elbows. You know, this is something that's been going on forever. Does the wet rag make it easier or harder for pitchers to cheat?
You'd think it would make it a little easier because they're giving them an item that's in their pocket that they're allowed to go and use every time they're going to throw a ball. But, maybe my suggestion of putting it on the ground and changing it each inning is a much better idea.
Yeah, you don't get to provide your own wet rag. The rag will be provided for you.
Exactly.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Baseball is back. Players reporting on July 1st, which is next week. Scott Crawford from the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame will check back in with you when baseball gets rolling, okay?
That sounds great. We can't wait.
Fireworks!
Or sex move.
That's a good move.
You're not kidding. That's a good move.
Okay, we got Canada Day just around the corner here, and we have fireworks to give away this morning. So we're playing firework or sex move. Jim is going to give you the name of something. It's one of the two. You guess which is which enough times, and you're going to be a champion. Tom, good morning. Have you heard the game before? Are you ready for this?
I have heard it before. I think I'm ready.
Okay, well, let's get right to it. Jim, what is the first firework or sex move?
Okay, firework or sex move, Moonshine Mama. Moonshine Mama.
I'm going to say that is a sex move.
I'm sorry. No, it's a firework. Hey, Mama, don't bootleg your white lightning. Get intoxicated on genuine firewater with this cocktail of 25 multicolored shots that will keep you under the influence of firework's best libation.
See, I thought that might have sounds been like a hillbilly Tennessee sex move.
Yeah, sounds like a good one. It also sounds like it might be a Lynyrd Skynyrd song, doesn't it?
Moonshine, Mama.
Next one, sex move, firework. What do we got?
Sex move or firework, double nuts.
Whoa.
I feel like Tom just had a visual in his head. he's picturing what double nuts would be if it was a firework, and then unfortunately he pictured what it would be if it was a sex move.
I'm kind of hoping it's a firework, but I'm going to say it's a sex move.
Oh, no, it is a firework. Double nuts and triple ripples, 24 shells, 60 awesome breaks. Warning, shoots flaming balls.
I bet it does.
Sure it does.
Yeah. Okay, what's next here?
Firework or sex move, pop rock your world.
Okay, well, we've had two fireworks. There's got to be a sex move in here somewhere.
You are correct. Pop Rock Your World is first putting a package of Pop Rocks in your mouth and then doing stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. A little. Yep. Yeah. I was going to go into more detail, but yeah, it leads to a double nut. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, I think we all get it, Jim. Next one is...
Fireworker sex move, moose on the loose.
That's gotta be a sex move.
You are correct. It is a sex move. While getting busy, you put your hands up to the side of your head to mimic moose antlers, and you do dirty talk with a bullwinkle voice.
Yeah, I
moose on the loose.
A firework coming out, so. It has
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, how does that feel? Is that Yogi Bear or is that Bullwinkle?
Somebody stole my picnic basket.
It could be either.
Yeah. Okay. Fireworker sex move. Last one here. Desperate attempt.
Ooh.
It could go either way for me, for sure. I'm going to go with firework.
You are correct. The desperate attempt is a 100-shot cake and also one's Tinder history.
Yeah, and it's also a pre-sex move.
That's right. At 2 a.m. When they announced last call, desperate attempt.
That's exactly what it is.
Tom, congratulations. We're going to hook you up with some real fireworks from our friends at bobsfireworks.ca. When it comes to fireworks in the bedroom, it's all up to you, buddy, okay?
All right, perfect. Thanks, guys.
And Elon Musk has set his sights on Canada, Jim.
Mm-hmm. In the internet zone, basically. I mean, people in rural Canada, small towns, people living in the middle of nowhere have complained about slow internet speeds since the invention of internet. So since Elon Musk just launched those satellites into space, that Starlink system, he's saying he can provide Canadians in rural Canada with super fast internet via satellite.
That's something to get excited about if you live out in the country.
Absolutely. So he's applied for a license with the CRTC, Telecommunications Commission. So we're waiting to hear if it's going to go through. I don't really know how likely it is. I feel like our Canadian phone and internet services are basically a monopoly, so it might be really hard to get in there. But it would be amazing if you could, because it'd be cheap. It'd be 100%. Much cheaper.
And forget about just the rural areas. But the more competition, the merrier. You've heard me complaining about my internet for the past 3 months.
Yes.
Working at home here, I've had some major issues and. You know, you only have so many options when it comes to service providers, so why not throw another one into the mix?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know exactly how this will work, but I've heard it's very similar to, like, satellite TV. So instead of digging up, you know, the earth in front of every house, laying down fiber optic cables, whatever you got to do, drop it down a lake and, you know, all the excessive stuff, you just set up a satellite, boom, you got the internet.
I'm still waiting on my solar shingles. What hasn't Elon Musk invented in the past 10 years? Tesla came out with the roof shingles. Apparently, they're very expensive. When the story broke that these things had been created, it seemed like they were going to be on every house in the next 5 to 10 years. But I have yet to see a house with the Tesla solar shingles. You?
I honestly completely forgot about those. I thought solar panels were coming like big time, but apparently they're also very expensive and bad for the environment to begin with. So they're kind of not at what they were sold to be.
Well, I would say Elon's just a big idea guy, and I wouldn't get too excited about this satellite internet in rural areas in Canada. But he did just launch a rocket with two dudes into outer space a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, he does dream big, but at the same time, he puts his money where his mouth is from time to time, doesn't he?
Yeah. He is crazily burrowing underneath Los Angeles right now. So he does do some stuff. He does get
What's
her done.
What's he doing under there?
Have you never heard of the Boring Company? You know, people always think that the next thing is going to be flying cars. And then, you know, the logistics of that is people are going to be smashing into each other in the sky all the time. So he's saying, you should put a super highway. Yeah, yeah. So put a super highway under the ground. So he's literally burrowing under the ground right now like a crazy guy from a superhero book. You know, or like a comic book, like an evil genius. It seems nuts, but he does crazy things.
Like the tubes from Futurama. Where you just get in the tube and like a pneumatic tube system underneath Los Angeles.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, could work. You know, there's not a lot of competition in that realm right now either. So the more the merrier. Well, if you live in the country, Elon Musk may be coming to your rescue with some faster internet speeds. Congratulations to all the graduates out there. I know a lot of grade 8 graduation virtual ceremonies going on this week. I saw in my Facebook timeline proud parents posting pictures of their kids, who surprisingly a lot of them still getting dressed up. I guess even though there's no official graduation ceremony, they still want them to have that experience of wearing the gown or the new suit and looking dapper, taking the pictures for posterity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely this year different for graduates than any year I can remember, Jim.
Yeah, I remember it was such a big deal. Grade 8 for sure was like the first time I went to a party. Like my grade 8 grad was the first time like we were allowed to have a party. I had a party at my shack. People came over and we snuck some coolers
you were the
out
host.
There. Yeah.
How awesome. Many people was the entire class invited, or was it just a group of close friends?
No, it was the entire class, boys and girls, but the girls had to go to Megan Boss's to sleep that night. So around midnight, uh-huh. They went home. And then these guys from Upper Thames, a different school, came and busted the party. And my mom came out and kicked them out. I was very embarrassed, Taz. Very embarrassed.
Oh, what was Mama Kelly's reaction when she came out there?
Hey, I don't recognize you.
Her name is Karen, by the way. She
Karen.
It right up.
Here comes Karen ruining the party.
Yeah, and then when I went to grade 9, the people that got kicked out were like, aren't you the guy that had the party? Like, because I went to a high school that a lot of people from my school didn't go to.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, aren't you the guy with the party, the thing? Yep, that was me.
Is your mom Karen? Our grade 8 graduation party was, there was a camp out. I wasn't allowed to sleep over. That was one thing. Mama Taz did not allow me to spend the night, but all my other friends are allowed. I'm the only one who's not allowed to sleep over. But we had a camp out, and it was the entire class, and I think that a couple people snuck like three or four warm beers to split between, split between 30 people. And I had a tent, and I had brought a tent thinking that my mom may change her mind and I'd be able to sleep there. But my mom said, no, I'm coming to pick you up at 11:30. So I had to go home at 11:30, but a couple of the guys were like, hey, can you leave your tent? Because we need to sleep in your tent. So I said, sure. And then the next day, I get a call from some friends. They're like, dude, Ryan Kenny threw your tent into the fire last night. I was so mad.
Yeah, I guess, the tents aren't cheap.
Yeah, I guess the that two sips of beer just overtook Ryan Kenny, and he decided to burn my tent.
Couldn't handle it.
So
the booze.
Angry.
I remember one of the kids put booze, he stole it from his parents, and put it in a hairspray bottle to sneak it out of the house. So he's like spraying the hairspray bottle into his mouth, and I was like, okay, I'll take a spray. And I took a spray, and it tasted exactly like hairspray.
He didn't rinse the bottle out enough.
Not even once. He did not rinse it out at all.
Yeah, so basically, graduates, all you missed out on is getting humiliated by your parents or having your tent set on fire last night. That's all you really missed out on by not being able to go out and celebrate your graduation in the traditional manner.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, you know, hopefully by the time you graduate, if you're moving on to high school, by the time you graduate high school, you'll be able to celebrate differently and things will go back to normal. Same if you're going from high school into university or college. Maybe in 3 years when you're ready to graduate from the next phase, you'll actually be able to celebrate with some people.
Thank you very much for checking out the Taz and Jim podcast. If you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, live on the radio, you can do that on FM 96 in London or Y108 in Hamilton, weekday mornings from 5:30 until 9:30. Or subscribe, keep downloading the podcasts, and we'll keep talking.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.